He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know.
Welcome into another edition of the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you. Golf is back. Golf is back. PGA Tour resuming at Colonial. It was beautiful this morning. Wake up, turn on the featured groups, see Bryson DeChambeau after, as Kyle Porter pointed out on Twitter, looks like he ate Brian Harman during the layoff, and it was pretty phenomenal watching some live golf. Saw some good shots. Sung Kang with a silent hole-in-one. We saw John Rahm with a not-so-silent chip-in, as Brooks Koepka let us know what he thought about the quality of John Rahm's chip-in. Taylor, it was good stuff. Golf's back. It was a little weird with no fans, but all in all, pretty good stuff.
Man, yeah, it was just really a blessing just to have golf back. Like you said, we've been out of it for March?
It was the Thursday of the Players. So what week was the Players?
They said it had been officially 91 days, so it had been we're 91 days removed from the last time that we saw any competitive golf.
And it was March 12th.
So I mean, and to think about everything that's happened in the world between now and then, and to be back here now watching the greats out there do it. Obviously, everything's in limited capacity because, you know, with the no fans there, and then with you know, it seemed like watching the telecast, they had, you know, they were on limited camera crew because most of the telecast they showed, which we have complained about numerous times, that there was only 3 hours of, you know, supposed to be total coverage.
Should have had way more coverage today. The featured groups were great because they put all the best players in the featured groups, but we should have had way more coverage.
Well, and we have talked about how stacked this field was, you know, to go into it. So I mean, even if you put the best players in the group, there's still great players out there that that aren't going to get shown. And, you know, I mean, you know, at this point, you know, beggars can't be choosers because, you know, it's great. I'd rather have a golf event the way that was portrayed today than last week when we didn't have any golf. So I guess that's the flip side of everything. But yeah, there's a lot that we can break down going into it. Obviously, we talked with Craig Humphreys on Monday, and I said on your DraftKings to go all the way down until you see Justin Rose, and that's the last name that didn't seem like a sure.
Fade.
And he comes out with a solid 7-under, so it seems like his equipment switch is working well for him.
Yeah, when you said fade and Justin Rose, I think what you meant was Justin Rose is going to have that pretty fade working, and you should run him out in your DraftKings lineups.
And I'm going to put on my Captain Hindsight hat and say, yes, that is what I was meaning to say, yes.
Yeah, he was firing on all cylinders. I've got our picks from Monday whenever we were on with Craig. He had John Rahm, Webb Simpson, and Ryan Palmer as his three. I had Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, and Bryson DeChambeau as my three. And then you gave a bunch of DraftKings guys, and your pick to win was Rory, who shot 2-under today. 9 pars on the back for Rory, though. You know, he made a couple of birdies at 8-9, looked like he was going to kind of get it rolling. And then you talk about a round stalling out. I mean, 9 pars for a guy with as much firepower as Rory, that is a round flat out stalling out.
Well, yeah, it was pretty pretty lackluster, to say the least. I mean, obviously not making any bogeys is what you're shooting for, but he would have wanted a few more birdies out there with 2-under. What does that put him at? 2-under is currently T39.
Yeah, scores are good today.
Scores are really low.
Greens were perfect.
They said that the morning wave was about half a stroke better than the afternoon wave, so we'll see if that seems to go into tomorrow because maybe the winds picked up a little bit in the afternoon, greens crisping up a little bit, obviously more traction on the greens, so all those things play into effect. So we'll see if, you know, these guys who went late and still were able to play well, JT Spieth ended up, you know, we talked about him. He bogeyed the first hole and ended up finishing 5-under. You know, the first hole is one of the easiest holes. It might actually play the easiest hole on the course today. I'll go back and look on that. And so, I mean, he bogeys first.
One par 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Very par. Yep. And
Bryson DeChambeau took it way over the corner.
Well, they said he was averaging like 340 off the tee box today or something stupid.
I mean, how much of him did you watch? Because I watched most of the early golf. I played my own round this afternoon, so I didn't watch a ton of the afternoon golf, but I watched all the early wave, and Bryson is thick.
Boy, yeah, he is. He's putting some club head speed. The ball speed is incredible. And also, too, he's just knocking it right down the middle of the fairway. I didn't see exactly how many fairways he hit today, but.
But he's certainly not spraying it.
No, absolutely not. No, and he's in. Putting that much speed and have that control is something to show for it. And, you know, we probably were on the flip side of it. I watched the majority of the later coverage. I caught probably the back nine of DeChambeau's round. And, you know, from what I saw, you know, I just think that if he can keep going this way, he's going to be he's going to be a trendsetter in golf. I mean, just because if he can keep hitting those bombs and then he's figures it out on the greens, I think he's going to be one of those guys that wins multiple times every single season.
Yeah, the big thing is being able to control it, which a lot of guys swinging that hard would not be able to control it, but he's found a way to do it. And you mentioned the kind of early and late wave scores not being too far off, but the morning wave definitely better, easier scoring conditions. But our co-leaders, one came from the early wave, one came from the late wave. Justin Rose, obviously 7-under, and then Harold Varner III goes out and shoots 7-under in the afternoon wave. We saw him play some good golf earlier this year at Riviera. He gave it away on Sunday whenever he doubled 10, topped it off the tee box. We kind of know what happened there. But you and I were talking, we need more guys in Jordan gear on the PGA Tour. Yeah, Harold Varner's got the swag, man.
Jordan gear's fresh, man. I don't know why they don't try to endorse that a little bit more. But, yeah, no, Varner played great. I think he was 6-under through 12 or 13. I mean, he had it rolling early, kind of plateaued there for a little bit. But, you know, kind of like a lot of the guys, you know, he wasn't able
to scorecard. He started on the front of the back, do you know?
Yeah, he started on the front, I believe.
On the front, yeah. So he was 5-under through 10, and then he birdied 12 and 18 coming in.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But that's right. He was 6-under. Yeah.
Birdies, no bogeys.
Yeah. So yeah, he looked great too doing it. And yeah, like you said, the course set up very well. It seemed like the conditions were pretty simple down there. The wind didn't seem to be too much of a problem, you know, considering it's in the middle of Texas when the winds can get up to be 30 to 40 miles an hour. So, you know, the wind stayed pretty calm and, you know, it was interesting to see, you know, some guys seemed like they took advantage of it being, you know, kind of felt like, you know, just a normal round, you know, with no fans out there. So it didn't seem like, you know, like your traditional tour event, because if fans were allowed at the first event back, like they're going to be at Muirfield, I mean, that's just going to be crazy, you know, so it's going to be completely different atmosphere. And, you know, we kind of talked about it with Craig on Monday. You know, it was hard to handicap, you know, who's going to come out and play well. You know, I mean, someone like Webb Simpson, who's doing so well going before the break, he shoots a 2-over today, I believe, you know, and, you know, some of the other guys who look like who were playing well didn't come out and do so hot. And, you know, like Justin Rose, who we had faded every week that the tournaments were going on.
Webb and Ricky both shot three.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And
I was pulling up the card.
I forgot about Ricky. Yeah. And Ricky looked so well down at Seminole.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, he bogeys, I believe, four of the last five holes to shoot that 3-over. And, you know, it just goes to show that, like you said, you know, we faded Rose every week before with at Bay Hill and at the Honda before, and he missed cut at both of those. And then all of a sudden he comes out 7-under, switches some equipment, and is tied for the lead going into tomorrow. So, yeah. I mean,
you know how many birdies Webb made today?
Probably zero.
Zero birdies, three bogeys for one of the top 10. What is he, the number 9 ranked player in the world, I think?
He's top 10, yeah.
No birdies on receptive greens.
And how, like we talked about, how well he was playing going into, you know, before the break. And that just, it's interesting to see, you know, how, obviously, like I said, we didn't have as much behind the scenes action, you know, to where we could see every single player, you know, what were they doing during this hiatus. You know, Justin Thomas made a comment in the post round interview that he didn't really start practicing hitting balls up until about the 4-week mark going into it, because he was like, you know, why would I practice and get my game where I need it to be for it to try to stay there for over a month and a half. And so he pretty much said that he started gearing up, you know, the last, he said 4 weeks leading up to the event. So it's interesting to see. Like I said, we don't know how a lot of guys handled it in the off season. And, you know, some guys came out flatter than others. But at the same time, you know, it's just the first round and there's, you know, it's a 54-hole event. There's a lot of golf left.
Yeah, definitely a lot of golf left. I want to remind everyone, if you need a new roof, you've got to call McCray Roofing. McCray Roofing is the absolute best at what they do. They're basically Thursday Justin Rose today at the Colonial. Jeff McCray, the owner of McCray Roofing, friend of the show here on the 73rd hole, views your roof like a canvas. His team's sole purpose is to create you a masterpiece of a roof, which brings out the beauty of your home and its surroundings, a beauty that will last for years to come. Call McCray Roofing today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at mcrayroofing.com. All right, we're going to play you some audio from a chip-in today from John Rahm. Now, this is not safe for work audio. Don't play this at your desk. If you got your kid in the car with you, you might want to turn it down for about 15 seconds here, because John Rahm has a very good chip in from a very difficult spot, and Brooks Koepka lets us know exactly how good he thought it was.
Well, then one grouping. Here's Rahm at the eighth just a moment ago.
Pretty fucking good there.
Oh, Kepka.
It's awesome, and that's great. That's what you know. That's one thing we can break down as well. You know, Ricky was the only player who decided to be mic'd up today. Yeah. I don't know.
That was just a hot mic next to the green. That was not Brooks Koepka mic'd up.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't him knowing he was mic'd up and saying that. No, it was just right there, and it was kind of funny. I was telling some of my buddies about this too. You know, you watch it on because the telecast came on at 3 o'clock, and that's the highlight clip that you had there, Colby, was from the Golf Channel telecast.
8 hours after they teed off.
Exactly. So that's when majority of people were able to watch it. And watching it on the computer on the PGA Tour Live, John Rahm hit that shot like 15 minutes before the telecast came on, before they showed that on TV. That group had already hit their second shots into nine whenever they showed that shot of Rahm's. So it's like in Golf Channel, they had plenty of time to cut that out. And they either decided not to or...
So somebody dropped the ball.
It was literally the first shot they showed whenever they came on. The first shot.
That was beautiful.
It was awesome. It was great.
That's so good.
And boy, you want to talk about weird. You know, we see Golf Channel NBC logo, and then next thing you know, Jim Nantz is talking. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I feel like I just walked into a parallel universe. Like it was hard to, I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes you'll see him there on like the Saturday or Sunday morning, right. You know, and he'll just say a few things, you know, but he's literally doing the whole telecast.
Yeah, it's crazy. Jim Nantz is synonymous with the CBS logo.
Yes.
One doesn't exist without the other in modern day sports.
No. And to see that, just the way everything was portrayed, I think they did a pretty good job with everything. I said it seemed like that limited camera crews. There were some players that you didn't get to see a whole lot of, but they did get to show some players. You know, we brought up Harold Varner. I forgot to mention this. He did hit all 18 greens today, which is something to bring home to mama. And you know, I tell you, someone who's just an absolute baller.
I think I know who you're going to say, and I've loved him all year, and I didn't mention him at all this week, and I hate myself for it.
Morikawa?
Colin Morikawa. I've loved him all year. I think I ran him out in the one and done at Riviera earlier this year. Dude is an absolute machine. I've loved him all year, and I totally forgot about him this week because the field's so strong.
Yeah, he shoots 6 under. He missed a 5-footer on 9 for birdie, and then he missed about a 12-footer on 8 for birdie. So he's a hack. So he had a chance to go really, really, really deep. But, I mean, this has not missed a cut in 20 starts or 21 starts, something like that, on the tour.
I know he hasn't missed one since he turned pro.
Obviously isn't. I mean, unless something just goes completely horribly, atrociously wrong, I mean, isn't going to miss this cut. So, I mean, there's, you know, how did we talk about the big three? It kind of came out of the same class, Hovland, Morikawa, and Wolf. I mean, you know, it kind of looked like with Wolf's win, he might be leaning out, and then Hovland's had his stretches. But, man, Morikawa's a beast, dude.
He's so consistent. He has the longest active made cut streak on the PGA Tour. Nobody on the tour has made more cuts in a row than Colin Morikawa.
No, and it's
right out of college.
And it'll be interesting to see how long he can keep that up. And like I said, if he keeps playing like he did today, I don't see that changing anytime soon. You know, he's one of the guys going out tomorrow in the morning, and that's what I'm curious to see is if you know, you'll see it in a lot of events where it seems like, you know, one wave of the tee times will get a little bit of a, you know, benefit than the other. Like we said, the morning has already gotten about half a stroke advantage overall compared to the afternoon. So it'll be interesting to see if that stays the same. Maybe even tomorrow the wind could pick up in the afternoon. The morning wave could actually have even more advantage tomorrow. So you could see someone, Morikawa, Harold Varner, Spieth, JT go out there. They might just go out and shoot something really low and kind of get out in front of everyone and see who can chase them.
Yeah, absolutely. The Valley's coming up. You and I will have afternoon tee times. But there are 6 flights. There is A through what? E and the championship flight. So this is what you need to do. You need to call Bushwood down in Chickasha. You need to reserve your spot. C, D, and E flights are already on waiting lists, but there's only about 1 or 2 people in each flight on the waiting list. So call down to Bushwood, get your name on the waiting list for the Ouachita Valley, the oldest tournament in the state of Oklahoma, more than 15,000 guaranteed in prizes given out this year. Still a few slots available in A flight and B flight, bunch of slots available in championship flight. If you are an elite player, try your hand in championship flight against Taylor and see if the odds are ever in your favor down at Bushwood. Ouachita Valley, July 4th weekend, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Make sure you get signed up today. Taylor, why don't we do our, let's call it the Friends of the Show bit? Yes. Should we do that?
Absolutely.
Talk about our Friends of the Show. So if you come on the 73rd hole, then you are officially a friend of the show. So whenever you go out on tour, we want to show you some love. We want to let everybody know how you're doing. So let's start on the PGA Tour with Taylor Gooch. Taylor Gooch, 2 under today. He had actually gotten into 3 under at one point Let's see, where was he at? I think he started on the back.
He did start on the back.
Yeah, he was 2 under at the turn. So then he played number one, the par five. Birdied it, couple bogeys, and then a birdie at 9 coming home. So he did birdie his final hole of the day. But a 2-under round for Taylor Gooch, first round back. Pretty solid. Matches Rory McIlroy, matches Patrick Reed, who was my pick to win the golf tournament this week. So a very solid round to start the tournament from Taylor Gooch. And you said that you didn't think maybe he had his best stuff and was still able to piece a 2-under round together.
Yeah, yeah, he whenever I had looked, he'd only hit in a, seemed like a limited amount of fairways. I'll pull up exactly how many fairways he had, but he was still able to get it in very well. Let's see here. We'll
have speaks to his iron play.
I mean, that's exactly what it was, and so we'll have it here. Yeah, he hit 42% of the fairways, so that would be, there's 14. Yikes. So, yeah, he hit 6 of the fairways, hit 2/3 of the greens, gained one, almost half a stroke in putting today, so was able to make some good putts. Seemed to play, like I said, birdied the first hole. After that, bogeyed 8 coming in, but finished with a birdie on 9. So hopefully he'll be able to ride the momentum in tomorrow with that morning wave like we talked about. Hopefully go out and shoot a low one and get up there in contention.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the Korn Ferry Tour, Taylor Moore, also a friend of the show. So leading on the Korn Ferry Tour at 6 under, a guy named Paul Barjon. He's got the looks like the French flag next to his name, so I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but he shot 6 under today. And then there are 8 guys tied for second, and Taylor Moore is one of those. Fired a 4 under 66 today. He's tied with names like Christopher Ventura, Luke List got it in, Scott Langley. These are some names. Tim Wilkinson, guys we've seen, Eric Compton, Chase Wright, guys we've seen a lot of out on the PGA Tour. And Taylor Moore, you look at his card, pretty clean. 5 birdies, 1 bogey, and the bogey was sandwiched in between 2 birdies, so it didn't drag him down at all. Really good round right out of quarantine for Taylor Moore, especially having to fly down to Florida, get all the travel situated, playing a course in Dyes Valley that he said he'd played a long time ago, but not a course, you know, guys are real familiar with. Goes out and fires an opening round 66. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, great way to start for Taylor. He was part of the morning wave, so hopefully, you know, the wind doesn't pick up down in Florida tomorrow afternoon. But from the way he's been playing, it is pretty jam-packed up there, I believe. I'm not sure, you might have it in front of you right there, Colby. I know that, so like 4 under is obviously T2, but 1 under is T40. So, you know, you got 3 strokes difference between being second and 40th, you know. So
that's
it's
wild.
It's pretty jam-packed, that leaderboard there. So, you know, tomorrow – and there's a lot of golf left to be played, but Taylor off to a great start down there, and I don't expect him to stop anytime soon. And, friend of the show on the bag for Brian Harman, Scott Tway.
Absolutely.
Caddy, so he, Brian Harman goes out and shoots a nice little 5 under today in the morning wave.
Yeah, he got out early. I mean, he had to have been one of the very first tee times.
I think he was. So he was he was way out there.
Yeah,
I
remember he was done early.
Yes, he was. And, he birdied. He's got 6 birdies, 1 bogey, bogeyed 9, but started on the front, birdied 3 of his last 4 holes. Fabulous stuff there from Brian, and obviously Scott giving him the good numbers.
Heck and of a caddy he's got giving him the numbers and the reads.
The caddy had to have improved at least 5 or 6 strokes on the day.
Team effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Team effort. Got to show the caddy some loves. A couple other local names on the Korn Ferry Tour. Grant Hirschman and Kevin Doherty. Grant Hirschman, of course, of OU. Kevin Doherty of Oklahoma State. Each shot even, which is T60. Again, Taylor Moore at 4 under is T2. At even, only 4 shots back, Hirschman and Doherty are T60. And then +2 is T100. That's where Max McGreevy, another local guy, attended Oklahoma and is from Oklahoma. +2, which is T100. So just 6 shots back of where Taylor Moore's at 2 under. At 4 under, which is T2. Just 6 shots back of that is T100. It is jam-packed on the Korn Ferry leaderboard.
Jam-packed. And that's probably testament. The course had been playing fairly tough, you know, because it kind of showed that there's a lot of good players out there. No one was able to kind of separate themselves away with 6 under being only the best and then the next best being 4 under. A lot of guys there. But with so many good players, it is going to be condensed like that. And, you know, tomorrow's going to be a big day. You know, it'll decide, you know, where that cut number is going to be at. And also, too, you know, see if any of these guys at 4 or 3 under can go out and shoot another low one. And, see if they can kind of separate themselves away from some of the other guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Another 66 by Taylor Moore tomorrow would go a long way toward putting himself in contention on the weekend. We need to take a break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to break down all of the good and bad from our predictions on Monday. So what we told you for DraftKings, there was some good, there was some bad. We're going to break it all down next. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back. Rolling along here on the 73rd hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you. Make sure you search for us on social media. Search 73rd hole on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You will find us. Like, follow, subscribe, rate this podcast wherever you are listening. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Now, back to the golf. There were a lot of predictions that we threw out on Monday. Some good, some not so good. I know a guy I ran out in DraftKings was Kevin Na. I felt pretty good about it at the time. Defending champ, really good putter. These greens bode well for good putters. He fired a quick little two over today. And I don't know, you said you didn't watch as much of the morning. I watched Kevin Na play about 12 holes, and you talk about could not get a putt to go in the hole.
They said he was losing about, I think, over a stroke and a half to the field in strokes gained putting today. I mean,
and he's on the season, I think I saw he was top 10 on tour in strokes gained putting.
It just goes to show how much of a daily game it is, you know. And I mean, even some of the, you know, the high guys and even the cheaper guys, these are some of the higher scores you'll see. You know, both Ricky and Webb shoot three over. Some of the cheaper guys I liked.
What is three over? That's T128
out of 148 people. So, And then cheaper guys, I like Bo Hostler, four over, not very good at all. Stricker, plus three, not very good. Kevin Tway, plus three, not very good there. So some of the cheaper guys didn't pan out the way we liked. But as we've seen, you know, even a player like Harry English, who was playing very well before the break, fires a plus two. We mentioned all the other good guys. Ryan Palmer had so much success here, member here, played well before the break, too. Shoots a plus two.
That was my one and done pick. Me and Craig, I think, both had him in, or did I bail on him after? No, so I bailed on Palmer after Craig because I didn't want to copy two of Craig's three picks. So I went with DeChambeau instead of Palmer, which turned out pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you had that choice.
But I used Palmer definitely in my one and done pool this week. Like an idiot.
And you never know. You shoot a little 5 or 6 under tomorrow and get back
true.
In.
There's no pressure now. You're two over after day one. So
a lot of golf left. And I mean, even, you know, someone like DJ shoots plus one today. So I mean, you know, he kind of had some of that same form he had down at Seminole where he just kind of act like he didn't care.
It was a painful plus one too because he was in the same group as Rose and DeChambeau, and I was watching it and it looked like he was just swimming upstream the entire day.
So they're combined 12 under and he's one over.
Yeah, you know, so you're talking about an anchor holding back the group that is the boat.
Hey, you scratched my anchor. but one thing that I thought was interesting I saw down here, I need to see where he finished at. He finished it a couple over, I believe. But saw Jimmy Walker is using a steel shaft in his driver and three wood.
Whoa.
So
really?
He is.
When was the last time you saw that?
He ended up finishing it even. So he ended up look like he birdied a couple holes coming in. Actually birdied three of his last six coming in. Had got it up to three over. Steel shaft driving through.
What is this, 1997?
I saw that on Golfworks. Yeah. I don't know what the full story is there, but thought that was a fun tidbit out there.
I would love him to get asked in an interview what the reasoning was behind him going to the steel shaft at three wood driver.
I'll try to find some more information before we get out of here today. But even scrolling up some of the other names, Rahm finishes at one under. Been playing so well, up to number two in the world.
That was Craig's pick to win the tournament.
Yes, it was. Phil had it going. He was about three under, and then fell back to one under.
Made some bogeys late.
Yeah, bogeyed. Hit a really bad shot in the last.
Peter Uihlein, by the way, another Oklahoma State guy, one under today. Pretty solid showing. Victor Hovland at even. Matt Wolf finished at three under, I believe.
Yeah, three under.
Yes, three under for Matt Wolf, along with about 15 other guys. One of which is Old Man Furyk.
Old Man Furyk,
Champions Tour eligible now. Mm-hmm. Old Man Furyk shot three under today.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, and just going through here, man, there is a jam packed list of people here at two under that have a chance to either go upwards or downwards depending on tomorrow. Like good names like Joe Damon, Patrick Reed, Duffner, Matthew
Fitzpatrick. My pick to win the tourney.
Yep, there he is. Our boy Taylor Gooch, Scotty Scheffler, Billy Horschel, Bubba Watson, Rory, Koepka, Tony Finau was one over and got back to two under, so he was playing good coming down. So that's kind of about the area where it'd be interested to see if some of these guys, how they come out tomorrow and how they fare. Some other names at three under, go up to the four unders. You know, you're looking at Cameron Champ, longest driver on tour, essentially, was able to figure it out around the course, got in at four under. So if he can keep that up, and it was announced today that he'll be in the PGA 2K game, so that'll be interesting.
Really?
To use him as well. Yeah, they've the golfers I've seen they've listed out for Kuchar, Kevin Kisner, Cameron Champ, Tony Finau. And DeChambeau was one of them.
Yep.
And
obviously JT.
Yeah, obviously JT. And I think that's it. I may be missing one of them. We had talked about this whenever we previewed it. I'm pretty sure if I look back on it, I don't think any of those guys were in one of the EA games. So probably goes to show that anyone.
No leftover contracts.
Probably that's what it's looking like.
Think they're going to have thick Bryson? Or how are they going to animate Bryson?
Well, yeah, that's are they going to? Because if you have 2018 Bryson or 2017, he's going to look like a stick. And now if you have him now, he's going to look like a linebacker for an NFL. Yeah. And it's just crazy that the transformation isn't as credible as being able to keep his game improving along the way.
You know, his machine. We talked about Morikawa being a machine. Sung J.M.'s a machine.
Oh, dude. I mean, he just shot four under. I mean, it's
just casual. It was very casual.
You don't see him making very many mistakes when he plays. And, it was interesting because on DraftKings, he's right around the same range as like Fowler was, and Schauffele ended up shooting five under. DJ was right around that range too. And you look at all these big names and then Sung J.M.'s there. And it's like, you know, at this point, Sung J.M. might have to be one of those big names that we start talking about. How many times does he have to prove, you know, that he's going to be in the top 15 or 20 essentially every week? You know,
he finally broke through for the big win, obviously, which was, that was huge. I don't know. He's still teetering for me. He's been really consistent. He's really good. But as far as being one of the big names, what's his world ranking right now?
Well, I'll take it back on big. I guess big name would be a stretch. He's around the same age. He should be. You know, where would you compare him to, like the Morikawas and the Wolves and the Hovlands? You know, like because he's about the same.
He's ahead of those guys.
He's ahead of them. And
ahead of those guys. 23rd ranked player in the world. Shout out LeBron. Or for all you older people, shout out Jordan.
Yes. And it's just at what point does he have to, keep proving it to be? DJ was the only one out of those that I listed that was a major champion, had a lot of success, but he shot a solid one over. So it goes to show kind of what DraftKings may know that we don't. But Schauffele up there at 500 as well. He has yet to win that major championship, but has some proven success.
He's coming in a little under the radar too. It's such a stacked field. A lot of guys came in under the radar because there's 18 of the top 25 in the world there, but not a lot of talk I heard anywhere about Schauffele coming to the tournament.
No, not. And he's pretty quiet guy, so you don't see a whole lot of him. And you go up here and you look at the five unders. My one and done. You brought up your one and done. My one and done pick this week was my favorite player, Jordan Spieth, who's actually, like we said, bogeyed the first hole, ended up coming in five under. So hopefully he can keep that rolling and get me a win.
Working. Vintage Spieth with the putter.
It was, and he was actually in some pretty good approach shots in there as well. He looked like that he had been working on some things in his swing too, that we had actually talked about in our player profile, where he was getting a little bit more to his left side and holding his finish a little bit more. So he's looking a little bit more like the old Spieth than, like you mentioned, with the putter. So if he can keep that rolling, he's going to be good. Old man Tom Lehman, they said that he was the first player to shoot 65 or better over the age of 61 in like 40 years or something.
How old
like
is
that.
He?
He's. I think they said he was 65 on the show.
Tom Lehman age. It's worth a quick Google. 61.
Yep. 61. Yeah.
Turned 61 that's what in March. Was. Just March 7th. So right before the lockdown and quarantine all happened, the 61-year-old shot a first round 65 at Colonial to place himself among the early leaders. It was Lehman's lowest score on the PGA Tour since the opening round of the 2011 Waste Management Phoenix Open.
So whatever
Tom Lehman.
Whatever he was doing, quarantine worked out for him.
Tom Lehman, 61 years old, 5 under.
And just he was just out there balling.
That's remarkable. DJ 1 over. Ricky 3 over. Webb Simpson 3 over. 61-year-old Tom Lehman.
That's why we love golf.
That's why we love golf, right, man. There, man. You can do it forever.
And, you look at some of these. Daniel Berger goes out, shoots 5 under. He's kind of been a forgotten name over the last.
Hammer cheese.
Bacon.
Bacon burger. Yeah. Oh, plot twist. Yeah, nice little 500 today, Colonial.
So, I mean, and then we already mentioned friend of the show, caddy Scott Toy, Brian Harmon. And then we go in Long DeChambeau. Gary Woodland had a very interesting round. You know, like we had mentioned, he was, what do you do,
par? Made 11 straight par. Start on the back. Made 11 straight par, start his round.
And then finished 500.
Yeah.
Birdie 5 of his last 7. So that'll allow him to, he probably enjoyed his lunch pretty good after that.
I was, and it's surprising because I wasn't there, and I'm Gary Woodland's good luck charm.
Good point. Good point.
I was on the course. I was on property just about 100 yards away when he won his first and only major championship.
Yeah, so essentially he doesn't play good if you're not there, but he broke the curse today.
Yeah, I mean, how many major championships has Gary Woodland won when I have not been there?
That is such a good point.
Zero.
It's such a good point.
Zero, exactly.
Yeah, you are a good luck charm, to say the least. gosh, dang it. But yeah, and then so you got, there are 6 players at 6 under or better. Those are kind of the guys that you have to look at and see if it's Morikawa, JT, or even the guys at 5 under. Is Rose, did Rose find some form? Hell, Varner, look, hit all 18 greens today. A lot of times whenever you have a round where you hit the ball that well, it's kind of hard to come back from it. So I'll be interested to see, you know, how he does tomorrow. But I'll be interested to see, you know, how much further some of these guys will be able to take it. I do expect the guys that played in the afternoon today to have a good chance tomorrow when everyone's listening to this podcast. Hopefully, you know, you're listening to JT, Morikawa, and Spieth moving up the leaderboard. In particular, Spieth will be probably the only week I root for him because of the one and done pool.
Yes, absolutely. Horns down all the way. By the way, we're giving love to the OU and OSU guys, and we glossed right over Abraham Answer at 6 under, 64.
Oh yeah. Just smooth sailing there. I believe he went out in the morning, so he kind of talked about flying under the radar there as well.
Yes,
and so
is that a short joke?
well, I don't care. I'll tell you if you're gonna play like that, do it. And mentioned another horns down. Johnny Vegas played at Texas, shot 6 under as well.
He did play at Texas. I always forget he played at Texas.
Yeah, it's
his last name is Vegas. I assume he went to UNLV.
Well, I played some college I played some amateur tournaments against his younger brother. So that's always how I remember because his younger brother played at Texas as well. So you know you don't see too many people with the last name Vegas. So you kind of tend to remember that one. And but yeah, so I mean you know kind of to sum up this tournament here, you know I want to see how the rest of the week goes if they're going to – because, you know, the course played so easy, it seemed like, this week. I mean, obviously, we mentioned those guys who didn't have their best stuff, but, I mean –
very easy. Right now, the guys at even, I don't think, would make the cut. They wouldn't.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
You got to be under par right now to be inside the cut line.
No, yeah. 1 under is T57. So, yeah, that and with the new cut rules, with it being 65 and ties, they wouldn't have a chance. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of it goes tomorrow. I don't – like I said, I expect the morning wave to be able to go out and probably make some more birdies and maybe see how some of these guys that played really bad do. You know, what if DJ went out in the morning, but if he goes out in the afternoon, shoots another 5 under, you know, he can get back in it. And then, you know, some of the other guys like, you know, the two under range, I think, is really the big mark. You know, is Rory or Koepka, Finau even, going to go out and shoot a low one, kind of get back up there in it? Or are they going to kind of plateau, you know, kind of like Koepka does when it's not a major and finish T50th and take his, you know, $12,000 check and move on?
Right. Yeah, it's great to have golf back. Now we're looking ahead to next week. By tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, Tiger has to commit. I mean, it's time to piss or get off the pot. This is what Tiger does. He loves the drama. He loves to keep people waiting. A lot of times, he doesn't end up committing. I don't know. He sent the yacht up. The yacht's headed up the coast. It's parked right now at St. Simon's Island in Georgia, which is just a few hours south of Harbortown. There were some rumors that he was going to play Sea Island down there and stay on the yacht and then maybe have the yacht make its way up to Harbortown. Usually, he sends the yacht up quite a bit in advance, and then he takes the G5 and meets up with the yacht and has it docked and stays on the boat. So we'll see if he ends up playing next week. You think he teased up next week at Heritage?
I think he does.
I agree. I think he does.
We saw a funny tweet, and I tweeted it out on Twitter, and I thought it was really, really, really telling. It was phrased, I believe it was off Monday Qualifier Info Twitter account, and they said, imagine being so good at golf that someone tracks your boat.
Yes.
And
and like as soon as it left, people were like, the boat left.
Yeah, and it's like breaking news.
Yeah.
In golf. And I mean, obviously,
there was video of it pulling into St. Simon's. There was video of it pulling in. There were pictures of it docked. There was a picture of it when it was just out on the ocean.
And it's because, well, you know, it's called privacy for a reason. So people want to
get ironic.
Yeah, just a little bit. And so, I mean, you know, it's just crazy the amount. And I know, obviously, golf has come back, but there's not a whole lot of other sports going on in the world. So that might attract a little bit more. But still, at the same time, it's going to be a big deal if Tiger plays next. I mean, literally, the tournament has to change, you know, how they orchestrate everything.
Oh, yeah.
You
they've come out and said that they have a contingency plan if he decides to play.
You have to have a based on one player.
Based on one player. And there's not even fans.
Yeah.
So if there's fans, it's even bigger. But even without fans, you still have the contingency plan of pairings, of making sure that he's going off probably, I would assume, early, late. So he's in the late wave on Friday, making sure he's in all the featured groups, making sure, I mean, all the accommodations are there to accommodate Tiger Woods and everything that comes along with it.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And even, like you said, even without the fans, it just goes telling how polarizing he can be. I sure hope he tees it up. I think
me too.
We mentioned it on Monday with Craig. I think it'd be interesting to see how his game now would translate around there. I believe he last time he played there was 98 or 99. It was pre 2000 era last time he played at Harbor.
Did he win?
No.
It was probably 98.
That's a good guess. Yeah, I know that that's one of the few courses that he's never won on. So it'll be interesting to see. I really do hope that he plays. I would love to see him walk around that track. I bet, obviously, I want to see him play every week, you know. So
yeah, and next week would be great because so my wife and I's 5-year anniversary is this Saturday. So tomorrow, which we're recording this Thursday night after the golf, so tomorrow we're going up to Grand Lake, spending the whole day on the water. Saturday we're going down to Turner Falls. We're going to spend the day in the water, which means if Tiger plays next week, after, you know, going all out and spending a couple days this week, I will do nothing but sit around and watch every golf shot he hits. Yeah, I won't play golf. We won't be going out to eat. Won't be taking a lunch break. Every shot he hits.
Then you have to have a personal contingency plan on if he misses the cut.
I don't like to even think that. I don't even know why you would go there.
I'm just saying it doesn't happen very often, but you have to be prepared on things like this that are this monumental, you know. And
Tiger playing the RBC Heritage, very monumental.
Yes, it is. And but yeah, no, I really do hope that he plays, and I do think that he play well. There's already been, I haven't seen the full list of people that are confirmed to play, but I know that just like this, it's going to be
another great field.
It's going to be a stacked field, yeah. And it's going to be very impressive. Just like Colonial, one of another great design courses out there that they play on a yearly basis. And, you know, a lot of people don't actually play normally because it's like Craig brought up, you know, it's normally the week after the Masters. So, you know, it doesn't draw as many of the great players because, you know.
That's how you end up with Satoshi Kodaira winning it.
And even other good players do play, but yeah, Satoshi had a one hit wonder, yeah, and I haven't heard much from him unless you scroll down to the bottom leaderboards when he plays, but
on
yeah,
the lower level tours. I mean, seriously, it's almost sad. It's like him. You remember when Stephen Bowditch won a tournament and had like 2 years of exemption?
Smiley Kaufman
and totally lost it. I remember Bowditch was shooting Jim like 88s.
Yeah,
Jim Herman won in Houston and then totally lost it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these
feel for guys.
Yeah, and they, you know, they use their 2-year exemption, so they're able to, you know, keep going these events. But you know, it also shows just how hard golf is. You know, I mean, you get to a certain point, and all of a sudden, you can just lose it. You know, it just
how hard it is and how fickle it is.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can literally win a tournament at the highest level in the world, and then your golf game goes away, yeah. and now you're barely a professional golfer at this point. Is Satoshi Kodaira, Jim Herman. Stephen Bowditch is not a professional golfer anymore.
Well, and it goes to show, you know, it's like Jim Woodward said, you know, there's 125 guys that have a secure job each year, you know.
Right.
And so,
In the world.
And yeah. There's a lot of golfers in the world now, you know. And obviously that's not including European Tour and physical, you know, all that other stuff. But at the same time, you know, the point is made that there's a lot of heads out there fighting for the same prize.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We getting down to Bushwood this next week? We didn't make it this week. I need redemption for my 5.5 lost by 6 round.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely make some redemption. I'm actually heading down tomorrow, so we're publishing this on Friday morning. So I'll actually be playing the day that this is released, and I'll let everyone know how it is. Has been improving every single time I've been down there. I'm going to be in great shape for the Washita Valley, and I got to get my gaming gear for it because it's going to be a big event, and do not want to disappoint.
Yeah, I can't wait. I got to get more Bushwood practice in. I got to represent the 73rd hole at the Valley. I can't be going out chucking up 84s. I ain't gonna work.
No, don't. You don't. You gotta listen to Steve Ball podcast. Don't think about outcome.
Mental game, baby. Yeah. Mental game.
No,
one swing at a time.
The only shot is the next shot.
Only shots from that. You hit a bad one, wad it up on the piece of paper, throw it away. That's the Steve Ball mentality there. I love it. Absolutely. We're not throwing away today's golf. We are thrilled to have golf back on the PGA Tour. We're glad to be recapping golf. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun watching it today. So some great golf played by a lot of guys. Scores were low today at Colonial. Can't wait to see what the rest of the week holds. Taylor and I will be back Monday morning. We will be recapping everything. We'll be recapping the Colonial, seeing who won. Can Justin Rose hang on? Do any of those guys a little lower at 2 under? Should have a low round tomorrow and get themselves in the tournament. We'll also update you on the friends of the show. Taylor Gooch, Taylor Moore has a real chance to put something together in the Corn Ferry event this week down at Dyes Valley at the Sawgrass property. So we are back on Monday. Everyone enjoy the golf and have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to the 73rd Hole.